Sooner Nation, welcome to the SI Sooners podcast. Okay, listen. We've missed you guys. We have missed you. Hopefully you've missed us too. But we're back, and we're glad to be back because we talked with your man Lincoln Riley just today. Ryan, we did get some breaking news out of that press conference today, did we not?
Yes, we absolutely did. There's no more speculation, no more tiptoeing around. There are two former Sooners that are now just that, former Sooners, and Lincoln Riley confirmed that to everyone today.
That's Ryan Chapman. He's in Norman. I'm John Hoover, and I'm in Tulsa. Appreciate you guys listening to the SI Sooners podcast, and want to thank y'all for watching on my YouTube channel as well. SI Sooners is a Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. SI Sooners, our website is allsooners.com. So, yeah, we did have Lincoln Riley on the Zoom today. I thought it was really good, by the way. But when he signed off, he said, y'all have a great summer, right? Which tells me two things, basically. One, he cut those two knuckleheads from the team, and then he made a statement, and now he's going on vacation, and he does not want to be bothered. And two, we're not going to hear from Lincoln again. This is what it tells me anyway, at least publicly, until Big 12 Media Days, which I'm breaking some news right here. July 14th and 15th this year, folks, put that on your calendar. If you media folks are watching the SI Sooners podcast, put it on your calendar. July 14th and 15th. I confirmed it yesterday because you know what? Like I always assumed, like the last 20 years, it's been on the third Monday of July. Well, no, not in 2021. It's not. It's now on a Wednesday and Thursday. I know. But that's what I get for scheduling vacation without asking my man Bob Bowlsby first. Silly me, right? July 14th and 15th, and the Big 12 is, I'm told, hoping that it will be live and in person, which brings me back to Lincoln Riley. The next time we talk to him, here in about 2 months from now, could very well be face-to-face for an interview, asking questions and him answering them. Ryan, how cool would that be?
John, I gotta say, I have no idea how cool that's going to be. I don't know what that feels like. I've become so accustomed to this Zoom world. I don't know what it's going to be like to be able to stand up there and fire away questions at real live humans instead of a computer screen. I'm told by my colleagues and by you that it's a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that we finally get that opportunity and let me earn some stripes there.
I've said it before. I think I'm going to kind of miss the Zoom. This is so much easier than getting in your car and driving, spending 4 hours in your car all day. It just is. But anyway, I digress. We need to be face-to-face when we're asking these questions. I can remember this time last year when we were sitting around saying, wait a minute, you mean we're going to have to interview people on a video call? That's not going to work. Well, turns out OU especially made it work. They facilitated all the arrangements. They made it work, and it was fantastic. So we appreciate it, but yeah, can't wait to get back to face-to-face human contact. Okay, Ryan, we got to be upfront and honest with the listeners here. When it comes to honesty, I've been told that raw honesty is really one of my greatest faults. And you know what? I don't really give a damn. I'm kidding. That's supposed to be a joke. But no, we need to let everybody know exactly why we didn't have a podcast last week. Sure, it was the fifth Wednesday of the month, but we didn't have a podcast last week because, well, I'll just let you tell people whatever it was that you did that made God angry enough that he tried to wipe you and your family and your dogs off the face of the earth.
Yeah, John, we picked a fight with the sky, and I have to tell you, we've learned our lesson. As a Norman resident, anyone that's in Norman probably recognizes last Wednesday, we had that random, super random hailstorm. It was, 80 mile an hour straight line winds coming out of the north. Baseball size hail, and it came out of nowhere. It was like I had the news channels on, John, just, you know, as I'm pounding away, writing, doing some stuff, preparing for our podcast, have the news channels up, no one's breaking in, no breaking coverage, and all of a sudden we have a totaled car. That was my car, shout out. We have four windows gone through the interior panes on the front side of our house. All the exterior windows are gone, but thankfully everyone's safe and sound. Most importantly, the dogs were inside safe and sound. So mainly just a huge annoyance, and I had to apologize to you, John, as I was saying, look, I got to figure out how I'm going to drive anywhere and how to put some cardboard on the outside of the house, much less sit down and record a podcast. So that's on me. I'm sorry for whatever I did to the sky and to the heavens and everything out there. That is, as always, my bad.
So you didn't need any sustain any major roof damage?
Thankfully, no leaks, nothing like that. There's probably going to be a few spots that we're going to need to get fixed. But yeah, the big thing is all the outside windows, they're gone. It only poked through in four of the interior ones. No real huge glass on the inside that anyone had to even worry about stepping around in, stuff like that. I know that there are many, many people, John and Norman, that had skylights or only single pane windows that were not that fortunate. They had glass flying all over the house, things like that. We didn't have any of that. So all things considered, as far as the group of people that took some major damage, we were probably some of the luckier ones when it came to safety. So very, very blessed and thankful for that. You've been a big help. Very thankful to you through all of this. But yeah, it's definitely been a hectic week, and I'm glad that we can just focus on some sports.
Hailstorms like that are a great argument against solar power, aren't they? Man, seriously. So you went car shopping this week. What'd you get, a Camaro, Corvette, something like that?
Well, our friends at our local Kia dealership, they're going to get me loaded up with a Kia Forte. I'm getting a sportier model, if I can, you know, use my English. That's got me psyched. Got a really good deal on that. So you can find me dragging mane in my Kia Forte. It'll be a good time.
I didn't realize you were that. I mean, I would have so offered you a 1997 Ford Taurus, low mileage, driven by a couple of grannies the last 25 years or so. Got a few dents here and there, kind of been out in the sun for a few years. But, you know, what do you say? If they don't come across with the financing or whatever, would you be interested in a 25-year-old beater?
Look, John, I called my grandpa. He is a 1957 Rambler Rebel. I tried to bargain that off of him. unshockingly, the car he has poured all of his blood, sweat, and tears into restoring, he was not super stoked about handing it over to his 24-year-old grandson. So we're going to go with this and just hope that this option works out.
Tell him he might have a buyer in Broken Arrow. Okay, so we dug into a little bit, well, last podcast, what was that, 2 weeks ago now, into the Bridges and McGowan thing. We offered some details. Seems like 6 months ago now, but I don't think we need to go too deep into it again, other than what we said off the top, which is Lincoln Riley said Trajan Bridges and Seth McGowan are off the team. They're not on the roster. Question came up from Ryan Aber today. I asked you yesterday, I said, what are we doing this press conference for, Ryan? You think they're gonna talk about clear the air on Bridges and McGowan? You said, no, they'll do that in the press release, like probably Friday at 6 o'clock. But I agreed with you. I'm like, yeah, this wouldn't be the time to do that. But I think what happened is Lincoln Riley's like, Mike, OU media relations staff, I'm walking out the door. I'm on 2 weeks vacation. Do not call. Do not bother me. If you want to have one more press conference so I can clear the air on this. I think that's maybe a little bit of what happened. I think Lincoln said, let's clear the air. Let's have a press conference tomorrow. And of course, everybody jumped on it. We had like 30 people on there today. But anyway, I digress. Other than to say, you know, I've been hearing that McGowan might be more to blame and might be a little bit more in trouble. But the reality is, I've heard that from several people. The reality is that the Oklahoman reported on the affidavit that was filed last week by Norman PD on the search warrant to search Trajan Bridges' car and apartment. We obtained that affidavit from the Cleveland County court clerk. That's hard to say. And from the claims presented by the alleged victim and from the evidence found by the search warrant of Bridges' car and his apartment, I think Bridges could be in every bit of trouble, if not more than McGowan is, because if you listen to the victim claims that it was McGowan, came in, said he was acting all weird, had his hand up his shirt, and then he said, what do you got, a gun in there? And then he says that Bridges came in and pistol whipped him from behind, his head was bleeding, threatened to shoot him, don't leave for 10 minutes or I'll come back here and kill you. What? That's what the victim claims that Bridges told him. My goodness. So all this stuff piles up. Lincoln Riley has no recourse. We still don't know who the alleged third party is that the victim claims came in last and then ransacked his bedroom, right? And left with a backpack full of stuff. We heard what the stuff was, but we don't know who that was carrying the backpack. There's still some details missing, obviously, some ambiguity with this whole thing. Who is the third person? What the alleged victim's name is? What his connection to them is? So there's still some sketchy information out there. Again, anyway, those dudes are no longer Sooners. If you've read the search warrant and heard that 911 call, then you know why they're no longer Sooners. And you agree, Ryan, that Lincoln Riley made the only call, the only choice today that he had, which is, and he kind of explained his reasoning. A great question by our man Cliff Brunt with the Associated Press about balancing, you know, as the head coach and the leader of that program, you lead 100, 105, 120 young men. You're balancing discipline with the need for giving one or two here or there wayward youths a second chance. He talked about that today, answered that question. I thought it was a brilliant answer.
Yeah, John. Well, first off, who's the third man is probably the oldest question in sport. So it continues to plague us to this day. But yeah, I think that it's one of those situations. And Lincoln Riley basically said that you're trying to balance, like you said, how you can have a system where guys have the room to make mistakes and learn from it and not be tiptoeing around with, oh my gosh, if I step out of line once on something minor, I'm not going to be a part of this university. I'm not going to be a part of this team. Scholarship's gone, all that stuff. You're trying to build those life lessons because that's part of people growing up. Like, John, I'm not very far removed from this. You get 100 college guys, ages 18 to 22, 23, and you're going to just, like, things are going to pop up. But there's a very clear line where you're offered no recourse, is what Lincoln Riley said, and these guys clearly crossed it. So I think it's one of those situations, John, that everyone knew it was coming. It was a matter of, okay, first it's alleged. The process needs to play out. Once everyone seems to be pretty sure that there's some footing somewhere in this story, like you said, some details are missing, but the alleged actions appear to have some evidence chain, something like that. I think that once you had something concrete, this was always going to be the outcome. So maybe he didn't make the announcement as fast as some fans would have liked, but you can't do that. You have to let things play out. This is the United States, John. You are innocent until proven guilty. And though no charges have been pressed, anything like that, it's all alleged. There's a process that has to work itself out. It appears that the university allowed for the Norman PD to work out some of these loose ends on this process, and they got to a point where they felt confident enough to make the call officially. So I think it's the right call. It's a very unfortunate situation. Not the kind of distraction you want in spring football, but I think given the severity of what was alleged, this was going to be the only outcome if even a kernel of it was proved to be somewhat true.
Up next on the SI Sooners podcast. Now, not having a podcast last week means we're going to give you guys the 411 on the red-white game this week. Hey, listen up. Spring is here, but you know the seasons in Oklahoma. Hot one day, cold the next. That's a lot of work for your heating and air unit, but the guys at Trade Pros got you covered. Sign up for one of their no-hassle service plans. They'll come out twice a year and tune up your AC and your furnace, and you get priority scheduling and discounts. Just call Chris at Trade Pros, 405-316-0598. That's 405-316-0598. Or go to tradeprosokc.com. Hey, are you a business owner looking to get your product out there to the masses? Let's say you run a hotel in Norman or a car dealership in Oklahoma City or a restaurant in Edmond. Or maybe you're a small online business who creates and sells OU merchandise and you just want Sooner Nation to come sample your wares. Well, then consider advertising in this space right here on the SI Sooners podcast. SI Sooners reaches thousands of readers, viewers, and listeners literally every day. And the SI Sooners podcast is the ideal place to find your next customer. To advertise, send an email to allsoonerssi@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at @all_Sooners. If you're on Twitter, you really should follow SI Sooners at @all_Sooners. Ryan is on Twitter at Radios Ryan, and you can find me at John E. Hoover. Our website is allsooners.com. We are a Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. Now, we've been hinting at this for a few weeks, but it has since come to pass. If you visit us every day, you know what I'm talking about. If you're still waiting, then this is going to be new to you. But then if you're still waiting, everything is new to you. Ryan, all of our content is no longer free, right? We now offer premium content. What that means is this, okay? So you guys who have been coming to SI Sooners, building us over a million page views per month on occasion, depending on the month, you guys have been awesome. Keep coming back, because everything that you've enjoyed this first whole 13 months, 13 and a half months, 14 months, everything that you've enjoyed about it is still going to be there. Everything is that you've read is going to be free. Okay. It's still going to be free. If you come to SI Sooners every day to read about everything OU, that's cool. That's awesome. We appreciate it. Nothing changes for you. Don't stop coming back. We love you guys and we appreciate you. We're still putting up the same number of stories every day for free. Okay. That's simple enough. But now we are now also offering, in addition to the free stuff, some content that is available to subscribers only. That is not different. That is new. That's in addition to. Okay. I wanted to clarify that. So don't get mad because we're charging now for subscriptions, because the same number of stories that were on there 6 months ago is going to be on there 6 months from now. So just for an example of what you pay for. All right. After we wrote all of our columns and stories and recaps and, you know, ruminations about the spring game, Ryan and I both stayed late in the press box. We were the last ones out of there. Stayed late in the press box to write for you premium subscribers an additional column that we call premium. Simple as that. That's all it is. We do our normal stuff, and then we do extra stuff for the premium subscribers. So it's been really well received so far. It's been really good. Both of our columns had to do from the scrimmage, had to do with the national championship hopes. For instance, Ryan wrote about the secondary. I wrote about, I've finally seen this team play now. I can get on board with believing that this team is indeed actually talented enough to win a national championship. I wasn't on board before I saw them. I trust my eyes. But guys, I liked what I saw. So I wrote a column saying this team can win a national championship. Another thing from that I wanted to point out to you that was part of the premium package. This week, I rewatched again the spring game, and I took notes on every play that Justin Harrington had. Okay, this big safety, JUCO safety, All-American that was moved to cornerback for this year. Well, I wrote for subscribers only how he did, what he did, why he definitely looks like a corner instead of a safety. You need to read that. You need to buy a subscription if you want to read that. So if you want to get on the ground floor, here's how you do it. Hoover, how much is this going to cost me? Easy. Okay. Easy. First month of your subscription is $1. $1, a buck, four quarters. That's it. After that, you guys can buy a month at a time for $5.99 a month. It's pretty doable. Or you can do what a lot of people have already done, and that's pay for a full year's subscription. That's only $59.99 a year, which is $5 a month. That gets you premium content, not just on our site, which is allsooners.com, but on every fan site, every Fan Nation site on the Fan Nation network. Everyone gets you worldwide access to every Fan Nation website. Plus, you get premium access on the parent website, which is Sports Illustrated's SI.com, right? For $59.99 a year? For $5 a month? Like, I'm thinking about doing that myself, and I get the stuff for free. It's such a good deal. And if you kick in another $10, get this, $10 a year, that takes your price to $69.99. You get a full year subscription to Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated. Remember that? The actual magazine? Yeah, right here. 12 issues a year, plus I think there's four special issues, swimsuit, college football preview, pro football preview. And then I think this year you get the Olympics. There might be another one in there. You get all that for $5.83 a month. Awesome. But here's the thing. If you sign up, you have to do it from our website. Please, please, allsooners.com, so we get credit for your subscription. You don't want like Texas or West Virginia to get your money, do you, right? You want Oklahoma guys to get your money. So to recap, our website still has the same amount of free stuff, and we always will. And if you like it, keep coming back for it, because it's always going to be there. But now we also offer, in addition, premium content as well. You guys can find the video version of this podcast on my YouTube channel, John Hoover Media. And don't forget to subscribe to that other channel right there. Just plain old John Hoover, like me. Ryan, we're a bit overdue here. So let's get to it. A spring game review. Man, as I mentioned, I wrote a deep dive yesterday or day before, I think, into Justin Harrington's day and a heck of a lot more. I mean, just click on the football link on the main page and you can see all the football stories. It's a lot. Most we've ever done. I think from the spring game, we filed 10 pieces of copy plus videos and stand-ups and post-game press conferences. 10 stories for you guys. And you got 8 of them for free, right? But other than Caleb Williams, Ryan almost tying Baker Mayfield's 11 of 11 performance in his very first spring game, what struck you the most about the scrimmage?
Yeah, I think it would have to be the group that you alluded to that I wrote about for our new premium subscribers, which is the OU secondary, because this was a unit up front. So we were going into it, John. We were very intrigued. What is the five going to be along the offensive line? And Oklahoma finally has that defensive line. We feel confident that they can test and have those battles. Well, guess what? Isaiah Thomas, he didn't play. Jalen Redmond, he didn't play. Totally fine. We get it. Don't want to get anyone injured in a practice. And guess what, John? The secondary, no matter who it was, continued to cover. I know that people were maybe freaking out about Spencer Rattler's performance, stuff like that. Well, understand, A, it was very vanilla game plan by Lincoln Riley, obviously, but B, he's going up against a secondary that was pretty much, it felt like, glued to the wide receivers. You had great plays all the way up and down, whether it was your projected starting cornerbacks, your Jaden Davis, your DJ Graham, Woody Washington didn't play, but all the way down to your Latrell McCutcheons. We saw a little bit of Billy Bowman. He looked good. Harrington, like you wrote about. Your safeties, Key Lawrence coming in from Tennessee. He looked like a guy that could be a big-time contributor. And so that is, John, in years past, if you told me going into a spring game like that, Pat Fields, Jeremiah Crudell, Woody Washington, guys that are supposed to be major contributors, those guys aren't going to play, I'm going to tell you against this Oklahoma offense, it's not going to be competitive. And that was totally opposite. That was not the case. And that secondary is what has to be consistent all the way across. We feel like we know the pass rush is there. We feel like we know that they've got 9 experienced linebackers that can do a job. What we don't know is, can that secondary play at a high enough level for the Sooners to truly compete against your Georgias, your Alabamas, your Clemsons? Out of that spring game, John, it looks like that unit is good enough and deep enough to do exactly that.
That secondary reminds me, and I say this in jest, and I may have said it before. I don't know if this is an original thought or if I'm digging something up that I've already buried. reminds me of Patty Gasso talking about, I only got 9 spots in the batting order. I only have so many players on the field that I can play. I don't know how to get everybody the playing time that they deserve, that they've earned, that they're good enough to get. That's what the defensive backfield reminds me of. Think about this now. They got 5 spots, and I've said this before. There are times, there are situations when they're going to go dime. They're going to go 6 spots, and the 6th guy is going to be just as good or explosive or dangerous or consistent as the first guy. And listen, I'm not here to bury Mike Stoops and Kerry Cooks, but when you consider the technique that you're seeing true freshmen and sophomores and redshirt freshmen playing with in the spring game, and I mean technique, everybody's close to their man, everybody's guarding somebody, everybody's got their head, nobody's looking at, you know, staring at the quarterback, eyes in the backfield, they're watching their man. You know what I mean? That's the technique they're playing now. Trey Brown, for instance, Lincoln Riley said a few weeks ago at his pro day, Trey Brown bought into the coaching of Roy Manning and Alex Grinch. Trey Brown was an explosive guy his first year, and he was reluctant to say, yeah, you're coaching me right. Yeah, I'm going to do these things that you're telling me, because he was always that guy who had enough ability to overcome any situation he was in. He wasn't being coached well. Well, you see now, Trey Brown, he's being coached well. What does he do? Goes into the NFL draft, you know? That's not a surprise to me, because when you take a guy with ability and you coach him well, you see what the product is. You're a good player, a good college football player, a good possibly NFL football player. So I think that's what we're seeing. When you're seeing true freshmen out there and you're seeing redshirt freshmen out there and you're seeing sophomores that barely played out there and those guys are making plays on the ball against a quarterback like Spencer Rattler, jeez. But you're right. 5 or 6, I think, total starters or frontline guys in that scrimmage. So we didn't get to see what that defense was fully capable of. I mean, seriously, they played that well. They covered tight. They pressured the quarterbacks. They didn't miss a bunch of tackles, at least until the Jaden Knowles machine got rolling late, right? But they did all that, and they were missing like half the starters, Ryan.
Yeah, it's just incredibly impressive because, like we said, John, that's just not something that used to happen with this secondary. It's not something that happened with the previous coaching staff, and certainly not to the level of, okay, so you talk about what was always the problem with Texas or Iowa State the last year or two. It's when you've got those big-bodied receivers, OU's cornerbacks, it did not matter how well they were covering guys because they were giving up 6 inches in some cases to guys across the middle. Like, how is, Abuki Radley-Hiles going up against a Charlie Kolar? If Kolar gets positioned, there's nothing he can do. That's not the case now. You've got Mukes, you've got a Harrington, you've got a Latrell McCutcheon, even Billy Bowman at just an inch or two or taller than Buki. He just plays totally different, things like that. So we're seeing the transformation there on the back end. And the goal is too, with that length, athleticism, but also that top end speed, that you'll have multiple guys on the field. No one will ever make that, or likely not going to make that chase down tackle that Trey Brown made in the Big 12 championship game. But if you can get guys that are similar, you can try and recreate that kind of, ability to make up for busted coverage, things like that. So that's just the transformation you're seeing, and it's finally coming to fruition under Alex Grinch here in year three.
So Caleb Williams, my guy, Parker, your predecessor, who is on 24/7 Sports now, he went and watched Caleb at the Elite 11 in Nashville last summer. And he came back and he said he wouldn't be surprised if Caleb somehow eventually won the job from Spencer Rattler. He said that. And I was assured that Parker hadn't been drinking when he said it. But, he seemed confident. I was quite a bit less confident. I said, no, come on, Parker, you're crazy. But then I watched the spring game, Ryan, where Rattler was throwing against mostly twos and threes, and Caleb was throwing against mostly ones and twos. Caleb had a much better day. Threw the ball better, ran the ball better. See, probably had a little bit more limited package. I'm sure Spencer's playbook was wide open and Caleb's was probably a little bit slimmed down, probably. But it was incredible watching him. I'm not sitting here saying Rattler's going to get beat out this year by any stretch. I'm not. Okay. He's not going to. But you guys, Lincoln Riley showed us last year in the Cotton Bowl against Texas what he's willing to do with his quarterbacks to win a stinking football game. Ryan, if you think Tanner Mordecai can put Rattler on the bench for a few series and Caleb Williams can't, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Tanner Mordecai, but when we talked to Spencer Rattler after the game, continually throughout the season, it was one of those situations that he got sat down on the bench in the Cotton Bowl, but he said he considers it wasn't a benching, it was more of a timeout. He knew he was coming back in, and I think, frankly, all of us knew that, Mordecai moved the ball down the field. Unfortunately, they had that fumble. But after two or three possessions, you could see Tanner Mordecai wasn't going to be the guy to win the game, but he could come in and steady the ship. Now Spencer Rattler has pressure behind him because will he be upended as the starter? No, I would be stunned. But Caleb Williams can come in, and if he starts to get into a groove, John, he can win the game. If you turn the ball over three times as a Spencer Rattler and get put on in timeout, there's no guarantee you are coming back onto the field the rest of that game, and then we have a real quarterback controversy in a, 1 week to prepare for the next opponent kind of situation. So I think the biggest takeaway Sooner fans should have is, one, get excited. Caleb Williams looks legit. It looks like every bit of goods that we've been sold about him, and the Sooner future at quarterback is secure, even if Spencer Rattler heads to the NFL after this year. But two, Spencer Rattler has to make those leaps that we've been promised, that we've wanted to see out of him, because if not, he has true competition behind him that's going to be ensuring he stays honed in and sharp every day at practice. So that's only a good thing, and obviously, heaven forbid, knock on all the wood, you don't wish this on anyone, but it's still college football, John. It's still the most violent sport we've got. One unfortunate play could mean that, hey, even if Spencer Rattler sprains an ankle and has to get it looked at for two or three possessions, that could be in the fourth quarter in a big-time game, and you feel a lot better with a guy like Caleb Williams going in there that you feel confident can make some plays even if he has those freshman mistakes that everybody has.
Yeah, Ryan, I get the feeling you liked Eric Gray a little bit. First off, wow, was Kennedy Brooks rusty. Holy cow. First carry, he trips over his own feet. He's going to get that taken care of. There's nothing to worry about, I'm sure, but holy smoky, what a day by Eric Gray.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, it was really weird. I was sitting here just looking at him and going, this feels like maybe a slightly lighter version of Joe Mixon. That's no disrespect to Eric Gray. That's a testament to Mixon's athleticism. But when you start looking, John, Lincoln Riley, right off the bat, is able to get him out of the backfield, line him up as a wide receiver. That's how Spencer Rattler gets him the ball for his first touch in the spring game. He's juking poor people out of their shoes. Apologies, he needs to send an IOU to Jordan Mewkes because there's nothing Mewkes could do there, but not the introduction that Mewkes wanted. But, man, Eric Gray looks incredibly athletic. We were told all offseason, DeMarco Murray said, and then you asked him, like, he's so versatile, does it remind you of DeMarco Murray at all? You can see that on the field, John. So it's just one of those things that when you give Lincoln Riley a player like that can be a true, we've heard Swiss Army knife thrown around about Trey Norwood, who was just drafted, turn over to the other side of the ball, you've got a guy like Eric Gray that you know can get it done on the ground, can get it done through the air. You just have to sit and go, how creative can Lincoln Riley be? Because assuming Kennedy Brooks is able to knock off that rust, now if you've got both of those back there in the backfield, John, you have no idea as a defense what is happening on the next play. Both of those guys could take it, make you look silly. Both those guys can catch the ball out of the backfield, make you look even sillier. Like, you're just opening up all the possibilities, making Lincoln Riley's job more fun, making Spencer Rattler's job that much easier, knowing you've got all those safety valves. I think that looking back, when we look back, I know that Wanya Morris is going to be big to secure the line, and Key Lawrence could be a big-time player in that secondary, but we may look back and say Eric Gray, kind of the, oh, okay, he was the running back depth guy. He might be that most important Tennessee member of the Tennessee trio that the Sooners pulled out of the transfer portal this offseason.
Hey, stick around because we got a big announcement coming up from Manscaped. But up next on the SI Sooners podcast, oh my gosh, we got some recruiting news, verbal commitments, and of course, the transfer portal. Breaking news, this important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped. Here's the news you guys have all been waiting for. The Manscaped team of engineers has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0. The trimmer, the new trimmer is here, now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released, seriously, today, this very day, only moments ago, this afternoon. We are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news, Ryan.
John, it's got all the features you could ever need. So first off, I'm on the go a lot, chasing this Oklahoma Sooners team down. It's got a new function on that on-off switch, John. You can put it into travel mode so it'll lock in. You'll have no problems. It's got a new function as well where you can turn off and on that 4000K LED spotlight, that light bulb, making sure that you've got every little nook and cranny, everything you need. John, it's got new blade technology. You can now fit a trimmer blade the size 1 all the way through 4, all that customization for everything you need. And John, as always with the Manscaped products, it looks great. It's got that two-tone matte and gloss finish. It's even got a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo, so everyone knows who you're rocking with, John. It's got everything you need for this spring and summer.
It's legit. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof too, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about, you know, making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? No, not yet, because the Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction. Is that cool or what? Which helps your battery last longer. SI Sooners listeners, you guys get 20% off plus free shipping if you enter the promo code SOON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And don't forget to use the promo code SOON. Unlock your confidence and use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Final final segment of the SI Sooners podcast. Ryan, you just wrote the story today. Kind of a big weekend for the OU softball team coming up.
Yes, absolutely. The Oklahoma Sooners, still number one, despite their loss to Georgia a few weeks back. They are headed to Stillwater, and it's going to be the first time since 1997 that the Bedlam Series is played all at one location. All three games are going to be in Stillwater. The Sooners take on the number 7/number 9, depending on what ranking you look at, the Oklahoma State Cowgirls. So this one should be a lot of fun. It is a series to decide the Big 12 regular season championship. Oklahoma comes in 14-0 in conference play. The Cowgirls are 14-1. So if OSU can win the series and Oklahoma's 10-year streak of consecutive conference series wins, then they will win the Big 12 championship in the regular season. If not, if the Sooners get 2 of 3, they will be regular season champs for the 9th consecutive time. And John, this one could get emotional. This OU team, they've shown us for that Texas series, they were geared up, they were ready to roll, and responded with 3 big run rules. Those two staffs are not the most fond of each other, Oklahoma and Texas. And there might be potentially, I don't know if I want to label bad blood on it, but Patty Gasso is not happy that the Oklahoma State staff and Kenny Gajewski did not agree to split up the Bedlam series as normal. And on senior day, 2 weekends ago, she went so far as she's rallying the troops, telling all the parents and fans, we want to see you down in Waco. We want to see you at Wichita State. And she said they were going to be rolling into Stillwater, quote, guns firing, end quote, ready for this one. So the Sooners have been waiting for this series for a long time. Should be a lot of fun with that explosive lineup of OU going up against the stellar pitching at Oklahoma State.
That sounds like a fun series. Listen, now, so far, Georgia was the only team on the schedule, on the whole schedule, 41 games, I think, right now, that could even stay on the field with the Sooners. And you know what? Frankly, I'll say it. OU played like garbage that one game. Everybody was tired, tired legs, tired heads. They didn't pitch well, walked too many people. They didn't get good swings on the ball. They really played like junk. And yet, they blew a 2-run lead in the 7th inning and by all accounts probably should have won the game. They probably should be 41-0. Then the next game, the very next game, half hour later, OU goes out and stomps a mud hole in Georgia's 12-0. I think they won the game 12-3 or something like that, 12-2, whatever it was. So really, who's the better team there, right? If we put pen to paper, it's going to be Oklahoma. I guess what I'm saying is this. Texas was supposed to be that team, right? Texas got run ruled 3 times. Georgia was supposed to be that team. OU had to play like crap and still should have won the game for Georgia to be that team. Wichita State was supposed to be that team, 2nd in the nation in home runs, right? And they got run ruled. Now Oklahoma State is supposed to be that team. And I'm not saying they're not. Maybe the Cowgirls do what they got to do to end, what is it, an 11-billion game Big 12 winning streak? How old were you, Ryan, the last time OU didn't win the Big 12? Like 9 years old?
Yes, very young.
Okay. So, Ryan, let's shift gears into I'm picking Oklahoma. How about that? I'm picking Oklahoma to keep their streak alive. Oklahoma sweeps.
Very brave of you, John.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going out on a limb. Sooners sweep the series. Okay, Ryan, you're our recruiting guy. That means you've been champing at the bit to talk about really the biggest news of the week, which is OU landed 2 verbal commitments in the 2022 class. Tell us about those 2 guys, Jaden Rowe and Kip Lewis.
Yeah, let's start right here in your backyard, actually. Let's go with Jaden Rowe. He's 3-star, rated a 3-star by Rivals, and 247 defensive back in your home backyard there in Tulsa Union. So he's one of those guys. He fits exactly what this Oklahoma secondary wants to be, right? He's 6'1", and right now, no one can get an interview with him because he's so dang focused on track season, John. Like, no one can get a hold of him. He makes the biggest decision of his life, and he's like, all right, I got to focus on my 100, my 4x100, all that stuff. So you know he's got the track speed. If you look at the tape, he's got some ball skills. He's still a little raw, but that's okay because what have we seen, John? Nothing but this defensive staff, Roy Manning, Alex Grinch, continuing to develop guys. So another guy probably won't be slotted in at safety like Mukes was initially, but it's a lot similar situation. He's got all the athleticism, all the skills, and shows you those just football instincts that you want to slide into that secondary. So that's that big pickup there. And then we'll go down south of the Red River. You got Kip Lewis, the linebacker out at Carthage, Texas. And John, he's a guy that blew up here mainly because he was so good in the Texas high school playoffs this past winter. And John, he's a guy that he can cover sideline to sideline, whatever you need him to do. He's going to get up in there. He can be physical at the point of attack. He can bring down running backs in the holes, and he's athletic enough to get out there and do some cover duty if you need that too. Very highly sought after Kip Lewis, the four-star there. And he's a big time addition to play alongside Kobe McKenzie, who's the other linebacker commit that the Sooners currently have. So two big time defensive pickups. That's kind of what we've been waiting on, John. This class is coming together, the 2022 class, but we were waiting on the defense a little bit. It was Kobe McKenzie and all of his offensive friends. And we assure you, it's not a scenario of, oh, Lincoln Riley's the offensive guy only loading up. No, some of these defensive guys that they're in for, you got to wait a little bit longer and you're going to be rewarded like you were with Kip Lewis and Jade Rowe.
A lot of these guys are taking their time because they know the recruiting season is opening up June 1st. So the barbecue is this coming summer. You know, it's June, 18th, I think. You've got the Lincoln Riley camp coming up. So there's really been no need for people to commit. I've interviewed a couple of recruits, and they're all like, yeah, I'm kind of slowing things down a little bit. I want to see the campus. I want to meet the coach. I want my family to meet the coach. So that's been important. Okay, shifting to basketball. Did you see Porter Moser's newest hire? Wow, that dude is impressive. His name's David Patrick. He was the associate head coach at Arkansas last year. He's going to be the associate head coach at OU as well. I think they share that duty. But he was head coach at Cal Riverside. Is that right? UC Riverside before that. And, you know, he comes to Oklahoma from Arkansas, but he's not an Arky. And he's not even a Cali guy. He's an Aussie. He's from Australia. You know, he coached Delly and Patty Mills. He recruited Ben Simmons to LSU. Yeah, seriously. He's been a head coach. He grew up and played in the international game professionally. He's coached some big-time places. He's recruited some big-time players. He's been around some big-time influences. Man, Ryan, what a freaking hire by Porter Moser.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And all you have to do is look, we know that Lon Kruger was beloved in the coaching circles. We know that there was a lot of respect nationally for him with the media as well. But when you look at the national media, the basketball media specifically, their reaction, you've got guys saying straight up that they'd put Porter Moser's staff and the staff that Beard is assembling at Texas up there with almost any staff in the country as far as recruiting prowess. So we may see a little Red River resurgence here under Moser and Beard at Texas, getting it going just by what their staffs have done. And look, if you're going to open up that pipeline to Australia, now's the time to do it. The way that the NBL has grown, the National Basketball League there in Australia, and the Boomers, their national team, and how that's filtered down to the youth levels, there's just going to be more and more prospects coming out of Australia that have the chops to seriously make it in college basketball, maybe make it to the NBA, and you've got perhaps the forefront guy on a college staff recruiting out of Australia. So is that going to help you every single year, John? Of course not. It's not going to, but that's an incredible ace to have in your back pocket, along with the fact that he's just flat out a great recruiter here in the States too. So Porter Moser, I really like what he's doing. He mentioned that he wants to have a staff that obviously can recruit the region, but can go anywhere and step in any door coast to coast and feel good about it. Well, now you've got a staff, John, that you can step in any door around the world. You've got NBA experience. You've got college experience. You've got everything you'd like. So it's just down to doing the job. They're just going to have to prove, convert those skills into tangible recruits that commit, coaching them and playing at a high level. But it's hard not to like what Porter Moser has done, especially talk transfer portal, now the coaching staff. It's about as good a start as you can imagine when he was getting hired and everyone was freaking out about how, you know, the program's just leaking players left and right and the sky was falling.
Yeah, the other associate head coach, KT Turner from Texas, was a great hire. And I think you're seeing that pay off, as you mentioned, through the transfer portal. They've landed four. They've done some unbelievable work in the transfer portal, it would seem. They've landed four guys, and there's still one out there, Bryce Thompson. Nobody knows what he's going to do. We keep hearing that it could be good news for Oklahoma. We keep hearing that it's down to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I think Tulsa's in there probably because it's his dad's alma mater. I don't know how hard Rod is pushing for Tulsa. because he knows, you know, Bryce needs to be his own man. But that's something that if Oklahoma were to land Bryce Thompson in addition to the four guys that they've got from the transfer portal, Porter Moser might already be getting a raise before he even coaches a game. Let's finish up with a little football. News out of the transfer portal last week, right before the spring scrimmage, actually, because I remember asking Lincoln Riley if he could comment on the new player after the spring scrimmage, and he said, I'm not allowed to comment yet. Mike Woods from Arkansas is a receiver. He's now in the mix, I guess, for playing time at Oklahoma. He announced his decision to transfer a week before last, you know, right before the scrimmage. Lincoln Riley, again, he's got to follow the rules of NCAA compliance, so couldn't ask him about him. But he's a big play guy. He's an experienced guy. He's played at the highest levels in the SEC, right? He's turned in some big plays against some guys that are going on to the NFL now. Ryan, I say this, Mike Woods coming to Oklahoma is every bit as much of a statement on what Lincoln Riley said at the beginning of spring about the receivers needing to play better. You know, nobody's really consistently hitting that standard every down like CeeDee Lamb used to, like Marquise Brown used to, like D.D. Westbrook used to. And really, he used the words, everybody starting with a clean blank slate. Yeah, well, after practicing for 5 weeks, Lincoln Riley looked around. He ain't real impressed with these receivers. So here comes Mike Woods.
Well, yeah, and if we just want to talk numbers here, John, this, you know, offseason you had Obi Obiolo decide that he's no longer going to pursue a football career. We got that confirmed today by your man Parker Thune. Good question there. You had Theo Howard. He's out the door. You had Charleston Rambo. He's out the door. Now you've got Trajan Bridges going along. So that's four there, four out. You needed four in. So you got the trio that you're bringing in the recruiting class in 2021, including Mario Williams, who was great at the spring game. So bringing Mike Woods in, that's another fourth. That makes sense from a numbers standpoint. And then you're talking about just from a 10,000 foot view, Mike Woods was going to be the highest yards per catch guy returning in the SEC after all the draft picks that filtered out there. He was going to be Arkansas's, part of the 1-2 punch that Arkansas had that they were really excited about. And it's one of those things that this is what you need to do. We talk all the time, John, about what? Championship depth. So even if Mike Woods doesn't work out and play a major role, which I'm not saying he won't, you've got a guy that if he's your second string, if he's your third string, a guy that has done that playing in the vaunted SEC as your third string, that's the kind of depth that you need to get through a long season. So there's no pressure on him, I feel like, to come in and be a massive contributor by game one. He can kind of get his feet wet in the offense, and if he's up and running by Texas, TCU, somewhere in there in the schedule. Think of Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown didn't come on strong until about halfway through the year, and then, you know, the rest is history with him. So it's one of those things that he's a big play guy, and most importantly, Texas A&M doesn't get him. Texas doesn't get him. OSU doesn't get him. Those are some other schools in the region. Oklahoma's just amassing the talent and building that championship depth.
Yeah, you said it, man. My fearless prediction, my bold prediction, Mario Williams is going to be a good football player. Listen to the SI Sooners podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts, or on your Amazon-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the SI Sooners podcast, or go to our website, allsooners.com, click on the player, and listen on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. Or watch the video version of this here podcast on my YouTube channel, John Hoover Media. For Ryan Chapman, I'm John Hoover. See you guys.